Blog Talk Radio.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all
and in you all. And so, like we always say, that there is one God, and God always wanted people to know that. He was a self-existing one. They did not know who he was. Even during the days of the patriarchs, they knew him as God Almighty, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't know him by the name Jehovah. So there was a time when that name was revealed. And it's like I said, if you follow this ministry, we let you know that after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Holy Writ, anymore in the Holy Scriptures. But the name has just changed. He's came closer. He's Jehovah. The Lord is become our salvation. The name Jesus, Yahshua. Amen. So thank God for this time that we're able to get back into the word of the Lord. Now, as we've been saying, we have been in the book teaching on the Godhead out of many books, showing and proving the oneness of God, which is so very important. So he is the God of all flesh. This is what he said during back the time of Abraham days. And he was saying, is there anything too hard for me? Back in the time of the prophets, the same message. He is the God of all flesh. So Abraham and Sarah thought they were too old to have a child. Those three men that came to visit them in the 18th chapter of Genesis, in the 19th chapter of Genesis, you can see therein things that the Lord was letting Abraham know, and how he made a promise at the appointed time he's going to return, and Sarah is going to have a son. And even Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed, and Abraham also laughed too. When you read a little further, they both laughed. But Apostle Paul gives witness to the record of the event concerning the promised seed, which is Isaac, when he writes in the fourth chapter of Romans about Abraham, how he didn't stagger. He staggered not, biblical language. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he knew that God had promises that he was able to bring to pass what he had promised. So this is the worst, what we say when you look at the scriptures, and Jesus made statements many times. He couldn't do many mighty works in many regions that he was in. He couldn't do mighty works because of one word, unbelief. And so unbelief is the worst sin in the whole wide world. So you got to believe God. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you got to believe him. So this is belief, the believing kind. So you got to have faith. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Not faith in faith, but faith in God. So this is why the writer says, so then, in the book of Romans, says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how you're going to get faith. You believe God's word, and when you hear God's word, even Abraham had the gospel preached unto him. So today, I want to let you know also of our calling number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566, should you desire to call in. Some people just call in and they can listen. You can also, we have sent links out, as we were already, thank God for all of our Facebook listeners and friends, our Twitter listeners and followers and friends, and also our Blog Talk listeners and friends and followers. We have sent links out. Also, I'd like to thank God for all of the people on LinkedIn who have endorsed me concerning my Blog Talk and the way that I carry out my Blog Talk show. I thank God for you, the men and the women who have endorsed me on LinkedIn. Many of the people that are on LinkedIn I have not met in person. Thank God for you, the honorable people on LinkedIn. Thank God for you for your endorsement. Appreciate that. And I'm an ambassador for Christ. As Apostle Paul says, we then are ambassadors for Christ. Beseech you, as you know, be ye reconciled to God. So just want to be a spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what an ambassador is. You represent someone from a far country or from another country. So that's what we're endeavoring to do, is to be a representative for God. Not only to say what God's word says and tell others what they need to do to be saved, but also, like Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means I preach to others and I myself should be a castaway. So God didn't save me to be lost. I didn't come over here to be telling you to do what I say, and then I don't do it. That's crazy. God's word is for everybody. His word goes out like the snow comes down and the rain from heaven, that it may make the earth to bring forth and the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing that I sent it and prosper that which I please, saith the Lord. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. So we thank God for his word. So he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours and my ways than yours. So thank God for his word. Thank God for thinking on us. And also, I would like to give out my email at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. Should you desire to write us, or should you have a comment, or should you have a question, you are welcome. Thank God for you and you and even you. So today we want to get into the word of the Lord, and we're kind of springboarding. Remember last week what we talked about, we left off out of the book of the Revelation, and we left off talking about the state of the church in the third chapter of the book of the Revelation. And we're letting you know that was talking about the church age. The key thing in there, in those three chapters, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So you got to hear, you got to believe, you got to make a decision, you got to save yourself from this untoward generation, like Peter said. So it's going to be you and Jesus when you stand before the Lord. It's going to be me and Jesus when I stand before the Lord. I can't point my finger at anyone else. So the devil is a liar. He's not going to con me or blackmail me out of my soul. This is what Jesus was saying. What is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So we know some people think that gain is godliness. This is what Apostle Paul told his son Timothy in the gospel to turn away. He said, we didn't bring nothing in this world. It certainly cannot take anything out of here. That's why he was saying, if having food and raiment, be there with content. And he went on to say, godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. But the thing of it is, that's not saying that you should not try to do better. Just like I said on last week, God, we don't have to live in a one-room shack with an outside toilet. And some people are in some of these countries are, because they got these people enslaved. But you don't have to live like that. But on the other hand, we're not worshiping things. We're not worshiping money. But we're worshiping God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is the state that the church is in this day. So you got signs. So Jesus, signs of the end times. So he was saying, take heed that no man deceive you. There are many churches, mega churches, and churches that call themselves serving God. So it is amazing, because the Lord chose 12 men and gave them his teaching or his doctrine, how to be saved, and let them know. In the book of Luke, he says, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father unto you. But he went on to tell them to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Behold, he stepped on a cloud and was parted out of their sight. And then so you pick it back up, like we said, the book of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles was written by St. Luke, or Luke the Beloved Physician. So that's why he wrote, he picked it up, the former treatise of all Jesus began to do and say, do and teach, until the day that he was taken at, after he, through the Holy Ghost, the apostles whom he had chosen, how he showed himself many infallible proofs, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he told them, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And he went on to say, John truly indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he goes on to let them know in the Word of God what they had to do for the promise of the Spirit, which was just like what Joel had talked about. So when they therefore will come together, then they ask him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What a question. He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While he looked, they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So we know all what happened. You go to the second chapter of Acts, the day of Pentecost happened. Just the 50th day after the Passover. Know that he rose from the dead. He was on the earth 40 days, showing himself many infallible proofs and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He ascended back to heaven 10 days later, which was the 50th day after the Passover. The Holy Ghost fell. That's Joel 2 and 28. It shall come to pass, saith the God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That means Jew and Gentile, bond and free, everybody, all flesh. He poured out his spirit. So we know Peter had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So at the initially, on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews and there were people from every nation under heaven. Then you go on some years later, it was poured out to the Samaritans. And then you go on some years later, was poured out on the Gentiles. So thank God for his word. So that's not what we're talking about on tonight. We are still talking about the Godhead, the God who is the head of all things, saying and declaring unto you that Jesus Christ is truly the same yesterday and today and forever. And so what we want to kind of springboard on what we had left off with on last week, knowing that the time is far spent. And so anyway, we want to let you know that Jesus is coming soon. It may be morn, it may be night or noon, but Jesus is coming soon. What we had ended up talking about on last week, we were talking about the Church of Ages in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, and we were letting you know in the fourth chapter, the church is in heaven, and the visions go back and forth, and the church is looking back. The people of God that's been caught up in the first resurrection, the first part of it, they're looking back. So here in the third chapter of the book of the Revelation, the 14th chapter, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works are neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, this is the condition of the church nowadays. People are talking about, this is your time, this is your season. You know, people you see on TV, they on there with a lie that God has told them to tell him or her, whoever they are, to tell you to send in a certain amount of money. I mean, that is no bigger lie ever been told. You cannot buy a blessing. You cannot con God. You cannot persuade God. You got to buy a blessing. That's so foolish. But this is the state that the church is in now. So he says that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. He says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So remember now, this is the state of the church now. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, try it in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This is a sad state right here. The next verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, this is what we have to realize. When he talked about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, things that are that happened in those days, and what happened, they didn't even know what had happened. They did not. It had never rained. You go back and read in the book of Genesis. Noah was building that ark out of gopher wood. Noah was building that ark just like God instructed him to build. It had never rained. Read in the book of Genesis. There came up a mist out of the ground and watered the whole earth. So you imagine what a mockery they tried to make of Noah because it had never rained. But oh yes, it rained just like God said that it would. When the Lord shut Noah and his family in, then he opened up heaven and the floods came, and it rained 40 days and it rained 40 nights. And everybody else that wasn't in there drowned. He put all the animals in. Of course, he didn't have to put the fish in, whales and those that could survive in water. But he put two of every kind. He did just like God instructed him to do, and everybody else who wasn't in there drowned. So it was, and also in the days of Lot, all the things that they did, you see they probably had great renaissance during the days of Lot. They planted, they built, they sold. All those things that they did, they knew it not till the day that God, the angels had to drag Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. But after God delivered them out, an angel said, you got to get out of here. We can't do nothing until you get out of here. So they took them out of there. And when soon as they got them out of there, God rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven from the Lord. So we know people are laughing. They think ain't no hell. They think you're going to burn up and that'll be it. But no, we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And God has come to redeem our soul. Our body is going back to the dust. We're body, soul, and spirit. Spirit of life is going back to God. But he says about the son ain't going to bear the iniquity of the father, nor the son's not going to bear the iniquity of the father, not going to bear the iniquity of the son, nor the son the father. But he goes on to say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we got to save ourselves. So we got to do what God said. So it's up to us. We all here. We didn't ask to come here, but we're here. And so we have to save ourselves. Relationships are here. Relationships are now, and this life is going to be all different. He's going to make all things new. So we got to save ourselves. We're here. We got to save ourselves. I mean, some people don't have good relationships, but you got to save yourself. And that's the most important thing you got to do. You can't be a hater. You can't be a murderer. When you hate, people hate so bad, that means they'll kill. That's what Cain did. He hated Abel so bad that he slew his own brother. So that's why the Bible said he that hated, he said, don't be as Cain, who was of the wicked one. What he did in the epistles of John, he slew his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's works were good, and he slew him. He said the devil was a murderer from the beginning. So you don't want to be like that, and you don't have to be like that, and you don't have to hate, but it's up to you. So when you hate, with people that hate, it hurts them. When you hold grudges against someone else, it's hurting you. So that's why he said, when you stand praying, forgive. So you're hurting, you're doing yourself an injustice when you don't forgive. And then not only that, if you don't forgive from your heart, your Heavenly Father is not going to forgive you. And those are the words of Jesus. He was talking about the talents and all and the tormentors. And he would say, so shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every man his trespass. So you got to, if somebody asks you to forgive them, you can't hold nothing against nobody, no way. You don't need to. You're hurting yourself when you do that. So what we want to do on today, we're talking about the horrible condition on last week, ending up that the church is in today. And realize the church is the body of Christ. Church is not all these buildings, these people. Some of these folks, I've been in multi-million-dollar churches, and some of these people, you better believe, they really don't. Just like the people, the children of Israel, didn't really want to leave. They murmured and complained against Moses and said, "You should have left us in Egypt." But God always fed them, and it was a test for them. But some of these folks nowadays, the way that they're living, really, they don't want to go. They don't want to leave here. Don't let them fool you. They think this is their heaven in the earth, which is not heaven at all. But you have tribulation in this world, so you can't. The Bible said if riches increase, don't set your heart on them. So you can't do that, but you got to wear this world as a loose garment. So on the day where we want to bring our scripture from, we kind of going in the Corinthian church and bringing our thought on today. So now understand, like I said on last week, the revelation, they say, in the book of the Revelation, they say the revelation of St. John the Divine. No, the revelation of Jesus Christ is what it is. So revelation comes from God. And what I mean by that, just like the Bible says, he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of men. Talking about the Lord, to make known is to reveal. That is a revelation, is to make known. This is what Jesus said. There is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. When something is revealed, that is a revelation. It's made known unto you. So this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, what we were talking about on last week. And you read, especially in the book of Isaiah, the Lord was saying, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. He says, I'm the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. He said, is there a God with me? God answers the question. Is there a God beside me? Is there a God after me? Is there a God before me? Then the Lord goes on to answer and says, I know not of any. And God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere and every place. So he's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere and every place. He said, I don't know of another God, because there is no other God. So even the devils believe. In James 2 and 19, he says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So people tend to laugh and mock. And so there's people that have been sick. They still will not acknowledge God. I saw a man that he was in a wheelchair. I don't know what all was wrong with him. He needed equipment to help him because he was so incapacitated. And anyway, on his deathbed, he still denounced the Lord. Isn't that sad? Sad. But the dead and great, John saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. So he's going to have to give an account. So you got agnostics, you got unbelievers, you got all these different kinds of people who do not believe God. So it's up to us. We can choose to believe God. So that's what we want to do. Don't nobody in their right mind want to be lost. Matthew 25 and 41 says that when he talked about the 25th chapter of Matthew about the righteous and different people. When saw we thee a hunger and clothed and fed you? When saw we thee in prison and visited you? And he was saying, as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. So, and the ones who didn't do, he says that they were going to be cursed into everlasting fire and brimstone, prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25 and 41. So hell was made for the devil and his angels. But man is going to go in there. You can read that in the book of Isaiah. So you don't have to. You can make a choice that you want to be. You can be on the right side. You don't have to be that and then see. Don't be like Saul. We got too many examples in the Bible. What was there about Saul that God didn't like? That was he was stubborn. He disobeyed God. When you stubbornness is like idolatry, you might as well be worshiping idols when you're stubborn. But we got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, as Peter said, that he may exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. And we got to do like James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He says he gives more grace. Talking about God, he giveth more grace. He resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So the way up is down. We got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. So today what we want to talk about, we're bringing our scripture out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, which is the Corinthian church, which was one of the most gifted churches there is. So today we want our tags, understand Jesus is the Lord. So he's talking about spiritual gifts here because he had just talked about the institution of the Lord's Supper and telling people about that. And so we go on. The Bible wasn't really written in chapters. A lot of times when you read the Bible and you go from one chapter to another, it's a continuation. So it was broke down like this. So we could get an understanding. So he goes on, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Notice he's writing to believers. He's writing to people that are already saved. Like I said, the way to be born again. Remember Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, or where it willeth. Thou can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as of fire, and set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that is the same way. So like I said, he made it so simple. Two things you got to do. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. God promised to fill you with the Holy Ghost. One thing that's so very important that Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said to her, if thou knewest, two things he said, the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. You got to realize in that day, women, that was their jobs to draw water at the wells. That's where Rebecca met her husband. She was drawing water at the wells. Those were their jobs to draw water. So we go on here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now notice here, he's writing to a very gifted church at Corinth. This particular church is so very gifted. So he goes on to say, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. He goes on to say, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So people have named people Jesus only. They don't understand. Yeah, there's only one. Like the song says, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When you need someone to help you, he's the one. Oh, yes, he is. So, actually, in reality, he says, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, you can't say he is your Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And it's just so many, too bad that people have been taught like they have been against Jesus because they don't understand who he is, because he talked about his Father. And you read on in the scriptures and you see who the Father is and who the Son is and who the Holy Ghost is, and you get the revelation that they're all one. So when you really look at it, when you look at the whole 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is the prophet, he is the priest, and he shall be the king. So we know that he already was the prophet that came. He was the Messiah that came. That's what the woman at the well said. We know that when Messiah's come, he shall show us or tell us all things. He said, what did he say to her? I that speaketh unto thee am he. What did the woman tell the men of that city in Samaria? They were mixed breed people. She said, come see a man that told me all ever I did. She told the men of that city. I'm going to turn there in the fourth chapter of St. John. So that's so very important, to get the revelation of who he is. And that is exactly what she did. So anyway, I'm going to this story. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. That was a woman's job. They drew water. Understand that the gospel were still under the law. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Remember, he said, I'm only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. After he died, that's when we went into grace. So his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a Samaritan, woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, Here's what I said earlier. Thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And let me pause right here. Understand what I'm talking about, the Godhead, the God who is the head of all things. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? What a question. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us that well, the well, and drink thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. He's talking about this natural water, this well. But he goes on, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's talking about the Spirit. That is talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. There it is, right there. Remember I said prophet, priest, and king. She said, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Notice what he's saying. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Remember I said, at that time he was only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Remember I said it? There it is, right there. And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what sayest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did, and is not this the Christ? So she got a revelation of who he was. So you better believe that woman was not the same. But she said to the men of the city, come see a man that told me all ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And, oh, yes, that's a rhetorical question. Yes, this is the Christ. So, as we go on, so we're saying about this very gifted church in Corinth, and they had their little idiosyncrasies, as we would say. They were very gifted. They definitely were born again. So he goes on to say, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Just what we're saying. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all. Only one God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So now we know there's people who have crowned. I think it's sad, really. When you really know what the Scripture says, then you got to have a backbone. You got to stand bold. And, I mean, you don't have to be dogmatic. But I think it's so sad that people have, and women and men, who have crowned themselves apostles. There are no apostles nowadays. And I mean, people just, for peace sake, they don't want to say it. I'm not scared. But there are no, there are not, there are no apostles nowadays. The apostle's job, and if you read what the scripture says, Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, I magnify my office. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. One of the signs of an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. Apostle Paul said, and last of all, he was seen of me. That was one of the signs. You had to be an eyewitness to be an apostle. You had to see him. You had to, and the job of the apostles was to write the New Testament scriptures, to lay the foundation, write the New Testament scriptures, be an eyewitness, and they died horrible deaths. I can't understand why people want to try to make themselves. You didn't write no scripture. Apostle Paul got 14 letters that he wrote. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Apostle John saw the end. He saw the end of the world. He saw the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. The New Jerusalem suspended in midair. He saw the end. He saw a man which no man can know. He saw the end. He saw heaven and the streets made of pure gold and pearl and sardine stone. That stone, whatever way you turn it, it'll show you another glow. He saw all this. He was an apostle. They tried to boil John. He didn't die martyrdom as bad as the other apostles, but if they boil you in oil to try to kill you, I don't want to be boiled in oil. That couldn't be too comfortable. So there are no apostles nowadays, but their jobs, they were off-scoring. They were persecuted horribly, pulled in half, skinned alive, cast off the temple, pulled in half for horses. I mean, all kinds of. Peter was beheaded, crucified, and not beheaded, but Peter was crucified upside down. Apostle Paul had his head was chopped off. I mean, those horrible deaths, the apostles died. And then also in the book of the Revelation, talks about the 12 apostles of the Lamb and their names in the 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem. There's only 12 apostles. I mean, if you read in the scriptures, you can read about Barnabas and some of the other ones, but there are 12 people that are named apostles in the scriptures. Then also when you read in the book of the Revelation, you read about those that say they are apostles and are not. And the writer goes on to say, and have been found liars. So I'm not crowning myself no apostle or none of that foolishness. That don't make you, you got to say what God says. I mean, people just want to be so important. But the truth of the whole matter is, it is not about us. It is about Jesus. That's why he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. That's why he told the disciples, the followers, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. In St. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that's what's so important. You want to be there. Like I said, somebody said, I want to be there. I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. So that's what we should want to do. I want to be where God wants me to be, not crown myself an apostle, and I'm not. That's not important at all. I mean, people are saying that God is using them in the prophetic and all of that. Ain't no prophetic. Isaiah and all of them, they wrote prophetically. Ain't no prophetic nowadays. We are in the church. The church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. Yes, God has an order in the church, but it's not the order like it was back then, but it's the New Testament order. And not we ain't got no prophets where the Spirit of God will come upon them. But now he said, I'll walk in them and dwell in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. So he's in us. So there are leaders in the church, and we have to do what the Lord says do. So if there are elders in the church, and the elder in the church, in the local church, is the pastor himself, whether it be a she or a he. So there's not all this these offices that people are creating to make themselves so important. So this, like I said, this is a very gifted church, this Corinthian church. So he goes on here talking about things about the one God operating. So for to one is given by the Spirit word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Notice they told us to pay very close attention to repetition. To another, the gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecies. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kind of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he willed. And what is that? As God sees fit. I remember one time I met a sister that said that she had all nine gifts. Well, I say this, if you did have them, you wouldn't be telling people that you got all of them, because you wouldn't be boasting, because you'd know it's God anyway. If he did give you grace to give you all nine gifts. So anyway, it goes on here, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Notice that's the operative word. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Question. You know it's not. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of a body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And if the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Notice how this is going back and forth. Christ, God, because it's the same one. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. There it is right there. Secondary, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Here's an important question. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? The answer is to all of those questions, no, 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 no. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. He's talking about the gift of tongues. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the initial evidence is speaking in other tongues. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about speaking with diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues and all. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. You have to initially have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to receive a gift of the Spirit. That's just like working for GM or working for Ford or working for IBM or working for AAA. You can't get a bonus from AAA if you don't work for them. You got to work for them first. Then you may get a bonus because you're already there. Same way with the Holy Ghost. You can't have a gift of the Spirit if you don't initially have the Spirit. So we go on here. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. He said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So there's nothing wrong with that. But with all we do, we should want to do to the glory of God. That's what's so important. And so the Holy Ghost is not going to fight against the Holy Ghost. It doesn't work like that. So what I want to do here, let's see, right quick. Yeah, because I know time is just about gone. So anyway, Peter's talking here in the book of 1 Peter. So he's talking about the gospel being preached unto the quick and the dead. And he said, but the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4 and 7. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And here it is right here is what I want to talk about. He says, as every man has received the gift, that's the ministry, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that's what's so very important. There's no big eyes in the church. There's no little U's in the church. But what we do in the church, we should do to the glory of God. And understand, when the Bible is talking about God and the Bible is talking about Christ, when you read about Christ and about the resurrection and about the power and about the Son being subject to the Father and all the things that you read about the Lord Jesus Christ and talking about God and back and forth, it's the self-same one. So there should be no mistake in that there is only one in the Godhead. Ain't no God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's foolishness. There's only one head. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So if you got more than one head, you a freak. And if God got more than one head, he's a freak. But trust me, God does not have more than one head. So that's why the scripture is talking about his eternal power and the Godhead. We should not think that the Godhead is like silver and gold. In the book of Romans, even it's eternal power and Godhead, because there is only one in the Godhead. So we thank God for his word. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. God bless you.